views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Whether you feel like your life is crumbling around you or your greatest dreams are just within your grasp, you're on the verge of your next best thing. When certified hypnotherapist and master life coach Laura Richer found herself on the verge, instead of having a breakdown, she used it as a way to break through and truly transform her life. Now she works with people every day, helping them to do the same. Tune in to Laura's hit new show, On the Verge Radio, to learn how you can use your breakdown for a breakthrough.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to On the Verge Radio, broadcasting on Transformation Talk Radio. I am your co-host, Andy Lucas, and I'm with host Laura Richer. Hi, Laura.
Hey, Andy. Hi, everybody.
Hi. So Laura is a certified hypnotherapist, master life coach, and the owner of Seattle Healing, Hypnotherapy, Reiki, and Life Coaching. Laura, what does Dr. Phil say the only thing worse than being in a bad relationship for 1 year is?
I believe he says it's staying for a year and a day.
That is correct. And today we are talking about toxic love relationships. We've addressed the toxic relationships we have with ourselves, the toxic relationships we have with our jobs, but today we're going to address toxic love and romantic relationships. And I feel like these are one of the hardest to admit and let go of because really, we all want to be loved and to love so much. So, yikes. Laura, kick us off. What is a toxic love relationship?
So, like the other relationships that we've discussed, in the most simplest terms, it's a relationship that feels really bad. You might feel drained and exhausted from it. You probably don't feel empowered. You might feel stuck or that you can't speak your mind freely or do the things that you want to do in your life. And it can be really obvious things, physical abuse, verbal abuse, but it also can be really subtle things as well, where you just might have a sense that you feel unwanted or unsafe. And you find that you're settling for something that's less than you want. I think those are some red flags that you might be in a toxic relationship.
Settling for table scraps when you really deserve a steak dinner.
Exactly.
Yes. So do you deal with a lot of clients? Do clients come to you at Seattle Healing because they're dealing with toxic love relationships? And they might not even know.
No, I think a lot of people come. I would say most of my clients are dealing with some type of relationship issue, whether they're actually in a relationship that is unhealthy or they find themselves in a pattern of repeating the same relationship over and over again. What I see with those clients across the board that they all have in common is that they're settling for something that is less than what they actually want. Mm. So maybe they're settling for a partner who doesn't want to be monogamous when monogamy is really important to them, or they want to get married and have kids and they're with someone who does not. Or even just settling for someone that doesn't treat them in the way they'd like to be treated with respect. So I think that's where we really are empowered and don't see it sometimes when we're in a toxic relationship, is that you can choose how you're treated in the relationship.
Well, Dr. Phil also says that we teach people how to treat us.
Yes, Dr. Phil has a lot of good wisdom on this topic. I agree.
He does. And I feel like some of those things like being treated with respect and wanting monogamous relationships and those things that are important to you, not you, the collective mm-hmm. you, but those things that are important to you are kind of non-negotiable, but in a toxic relationship, we might let them slide.
Yes, and that's when you see a relationship become toxic, is when you're not sticking to your non-negotiables. So there could be little things that you can let go of. Maybe the person you're with doesn't always put the dishes away, and that's not a non-negotiable. But if you want to get married and have kids and you're dating someone who doesn't, that is eventually going to become a toxic relationship.
Do you have clients, though, obviously, that you're helping get out of this cycle, that are breaking free from this?
Yes, I've worked with several clients who've successfully broken out of this cycle. And, you know, when we make these decisions to let some of the non-negotiable slides, it usually comes from, or always comes from, a place of fear. Fear that maybe I have to accept this because I'm not going to be able to find what it really is I'm looking for. Maybe I have clients believe that their expectations are too high, or that all the good people are already taken, or that they don't deserve what it is that they're looking for. And that's what lands us in a pattern of accepting behavior or characteristics that are not desirable to us.
Yeah.
But you can definitely break free of that. And so the first thing I think to do with a client who wants to get out of a toxic relationship or break the pattern of being in them is for them to recognize that they're half of the problem, that they're making choices that are putting them in this place, and that they are always, they always have free will to make a different choice. So that is the first step.
Yeah.
Especially if you have codependent behaviors where you're really, you know, put other people's happiness before yours. And there's a lot of different things you can work on as an individual to break out of that cycle.
Fantastic. And I know we're going to talk more about that and how hypnotherapy and coaching and Reiki can work together to help with that. Tell me, what are some of the behaviors that we might witness the other person exhibiting in this kind of toxic love relationship?
So some of them are very obvious. Like I said, physical and verbal abuse are an obvious sign that your relationship is toxic. The person communicating that they don't want to be with you, that would come up, that comes up more than you might be surprised to find out, where the other person is saying, hey, I don't want to be in a relationship, yet you're still pushing settling for what they're offering, although it may be less than what you want or pushing for it. You know, other things are, how do you fight with your partner? Is it really explosive? Oh. Are there screaming matches? Do you feel personally attacked? Is there never any resolution? Mm. Are you fighting to be right in your relationship?
Oh.
That can be very toxic.
That's a big one.
Some other things I think are really less obvious. A lot of criticism, belittling, blaming. Sometimes those things can seem like normal patterns of behavior, but can be really damaging to your self-esteem.
Yeah.
And I think another one is a relationship that is damaging to your friendships and your relationships with family, or that you find that the people in your life really don't like this person, or that that person wants to keep you away from your other significant relationships, that's also a red flag.
Yeah. I think, too, there's this idea of in that breakup makeup cycle that some of these relationships tend to get into, there's kind of the where during the breakup they shut you out, they block you on social media, they block you on their phone, and then there's like this getting back together and they say terrible things to you, but then you're supposed to come back and forget it all, and so are your family and friends, and just awful.
Well, and Maya Angelou's famous statement that Oprah has said many times is, you know, when somebody shows you who they are, believe them. If somebody can say terrible things to you and block you on social media, they probably are showing you who they are, and you can trust that that is enough information to decide that you don't want to be in a relationship with that person. But like you said earlier, it can be really hard because romantic relationships and love relationships are so important to us. And we, many of us crave finding that significant other, that soulmate. And so sometimes we want to let some of those things slide, hoping that the person that we're with is going to be who we want. But it's important to be aware of what's actually happening.
Exactly. What are some of the behaviors and feelings that we might be feeling as the person, the other part of it? What are some of the things that we might be feeling so that, because I think sometimes people can't identify that it's toxic because they've let so many little things slide that over time it has become this terrible relationship. I mean, no one goes out seeking this, so it kind of becomes that. So what are some of the things that we would be feeling
I think if you notice that you feel very insecure and that interacting with your partner actually causes you to feel insecure, not supported or lifted up is a sign, or overly criticized. If you become very paranoid, not sure what's going to happen, or if the person you're with is about to pull the rug out from under you in some sort of way, whether that's
always fun.
Financially, or you're going to find them with somebody else, or something shocking is going to happen.
Yeah.
And I think just in general, you might notice that you're feeling stuck, that you can't say what you really think, that you're walking on eggshells, that you're not going in a direction that is fulfilling to you in your own life.
I think another one, too, is where you're seeking professional help or therapy to help you cope with the relationship. And that's one of the things that I know you have said this before, that you won't do is make someone help them to accept the relationship. You want to help them get beyond it, to find out why they're stuck in it and get beyond it.
I want to support them in whatever best serves their interest. And sometimes there are people that come that are in a relationship and they can make changes to themselves so that the relationship can become healthier, and that is a possibility. So just because you come to me doesn't mean you automatically have to leave your relationship. But what I cannot do for you is help you accept any type of abuse, or help you accept being overly criticized or being put down. That's
right.
You shouldn't want that for yourself. And if you find yourself in that situation, it might be more positive to leave than to keep, you know, it's going to do long-lasting damage to stay in that place.
Yeah. And you've also said that not all conflict in a relationship is bad. So we're not saying that everything is bad. There is healthy conflict.
Yes, and you will have conflict in your relationships, but I think a sign of healthy conflict is two people who can work towards resolution, that the intention of being in conflict is not to be right and to shame or blame or put down the other person. I think also healthy conflict, sometimes you can just agree to disagree, but it comes from a place of having your partner's best interest in mind as well as yours. It's not shaming. It's not looking to crush the other person.
It's to build the other person up.
Yeah. Or supportive. Just, you know, sometimes we have conflict and disagree, and that's okay. We can do that in a healthy way without it being destructive.
Exactly. So this is, I'm loving this conversation. So before we take a quick break, remind everybody, how can they get in touch with you, Laura?
So you can just give us a call at Seattle Healing Hypnosis. We offer a complimentary 30-minute consultation. And if you think you want to maybe work on some of your issues around toxic relationships, give us a call. Or you can also reach us at seattlehealinghypnosis.com. And we are all over social media, Facebook, Instagram, Google+, YouTube at Seattle Healing Hypnotherapy.
And what's the phone number again one more time?
206-765-8265.
Great. We will be right back talking about toxic love relationships here on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay tuned.
Transformation Talk Radio is dedicated to the education and awareness of Lyme disease.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lyme Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Pat, joined here by
Dr. Nusheen Darvish.
Dr. Pat Basile and Dr. Nusheen Darvish will be bringing the most innovative, groundbreaking information, research, treatment innovations, and stories from those it affects every day.
I'm so excited to be talking about this.
We have so much to share.
Dr. Darvish and I are planning to do is connect the dots.
People suffering with all sorts of chronic diseases, it's time. It is time for them to transform.
Tune into Lyme Talk Radio and help keep our mission strong.
For the loyal listeners out there that have been listening to this incredible show on Lyme disease, we are not going to let you down. We're going to come through stronger and enrich the platform for Lyme disease awareness through Lyme Talk Radio. The message will continue. The conversations will become stronger and the healing epic.
Are you looking for the perfect setting for your next workshop or retreat? At Spirit Fire Meditative Retreat Center, cultivating consciousness is what we do best. Our guests count on us to create an atmosphere that supports serenity and well-being. We lead from the heart and create space for the mind. Freshly prepared meals designed with local and organic ingredients, 95 acres of beautiful woods and pastures, and a facility built with green in mind. This is what you'll find at Spirit Fire. For more information, visit spiritfireretreatcenter.com.
Hi there. My name is Audrey Michelle, host of Rewired Life Radio and a spiritual growth coach. I talk about this all the time on my show, listening to your body and acting on intuition. What do these things even mean? Here's the thing. About 10 years ago, I figured out I was doing it all wrong. I mean, I wasn't unhappy, but was I really happy? And then life sent me a spiritual smackdown, like it does, because I wasn't listening to my best resource, my body and my intuition. I was living from a place of fear. I was stressed and I was in pain, and I seemed to be happily unhappy. Mostly, I just didn't know what I didn't know. And what I didn't know was that my body and my intuition had all the tools I needed to live life as my best self. I'm sharing the tools I have learned over the last 10 years of my healing journey in my online class, Soul Awakening, beginning September 19th. Learn more. Go to audreymichelle.com/awaken. That's Audrey Michelle, spelled michelle.com/awaken.
Is traditional medicine not working for you? Do you still feel as if your health isn't 100%? Here at the Holistic Medical Center, Dr. Nusheen Darvish and the qualified staff look through the dimensions of wellness and start a healing plan prioritized to your needs. Our physicians assess the whole you until complete health is achieved. Get the help you need by visiting drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Welcome back to On the Verge Radio here on Transformation Talk Radio, where we're talking about tainted love, identifying and letting go of those toxic love relationships. We're here with your co-hosts. I'm Andy Lucas. This is Laura Richer. Hi,
hey.
Laura.
Hey, Andy.
And so we're talking about toxic love relationships and why on earth we stay in them. So before we find out why we stay, Laura, why are we even attracting these? I mean, like I said before, no one is seeking out a toxic relationship. How are we even finding ourselves getting to this point?
That is so true, Andy. And there's a lot of different reasons why we might be attracting toxic relationships. I think the basis is always low self-esteem. I think that's really the source of it. But there could be some other things that we can be looking at to know that we might not be in the right place to attract a good relationship. So one thing, as we've already pointed out, is that we are choosing people who don't meet our expectations, and then we're looking to change them. Huh. That is never going to work.
No. Yeah. I've found myself in that relationship.
Have you found a fixer-upper before?
I did. And it was also that I fell in love with his potential.
Potential.
And that's a bad one. And I totally missed out on who he really was. Mm-hmm. So I started dating somebody who I thought, oh my gosh, he's unstoppable. He can be a wine sommelier. He could be a masseuse. He could be a chef. He can do all this stuff. But I was the only one who really believed in that. He didn't believe it. And so I kept trying to get him to be who he could be. And it didn't work out. And I felt miserable. And then I also felt like I was nagging him. I hate that word, but I was like pushing him too hard to be who he wanted. And then he resented me for that. It was just
toxic.
Very toxic. Yeah.
Yeah. So potential is very dangerous because, like you said, you saw all of the possibilities for this person, and he may not have wanted those things for his own life. That could be what you wanted. Maybe he had a different vision or no vision.
Well, he currently lives in a van, so you tell me.
Is it down by the river?
It's by the water.
Oh,
it's not a river. I think it's the ocean. It's terrifying.
Nice.
So that is a really good story to keep in mind if you feel that you're attracted to somebody's potential, any of you that are listening out there. The other thing is, we can just take our own responsibility for this, and I've been in this place before, that you're a mess, that you should barely even be leaving your house, let alone out in the dating world.
Yeah.
And I think we see that a lot. I know in my experience with online dating that, you know, a lot of people who are recently out of relationships hop right online, ready to get back in there. And that probably is not the best time to be attracting a healthy relationship. You have some work to do on yourself, getting your own, you know, healing from your past relationship, deciding what you do want to have in a new relationship, getting really clear about it. And so, you know, the day after your divorce may not be the best time to hop back online. For some people it is,
For most people. Well, I think it when you go out there just out of a relationship, just out of a 15, 20-year marriage, you're kind of desperate because you're looking to fill this void that somebody filled for 15 and 20 years or however long the relationship lasted.
Right. And so to be in a really healthy relationship that it doesn't have a lot of potential for becoming toxic, you want two healthy, whole human beings to come together, not somebody who has a wound and they want to use their relationship as a Band-Aid. So when you're in a wounded place or feeling your self-esteem is not as, or confidence is not as good as it could be, that's probably a good time to attract a toxic relationship. So you might want to be mindful
of
that.
And just to touch on that, this idea of being healthy and attracting the right partner and feeling like you're in a good place, we're going to be talking about that on our next episode on October 17th at 11 a.m. And we have a very special guest.
I am so excited. So while today we're talking about how to identify a toxic relationship, we're not going to leave you hanging with this. Next episode, we're going to give you some really great advice on how to find the relationship you want. And we have Dr. Pepper Schwartz coming in as our special guest.
We are so excited. She has a 40-year career in talking about love and relationships and commitment, and she's most recently well-known for being one of the experts on Married at First Sight. I am so excited to have
her. One of my favorite shows.
Yes. Yay. Okay, so back to why we are attracting these toxic relationships.
Another thing that a pattern I see with people quite a bit, with clients that I work with, is that they have the desire to help. And the desire to help is great. Mm-hmm. And you know, if we want to be kind to other people and helpful, that is fantastic. But if you choose to do that, you should do that as volunteer work or in your career. Your romantic relationship is not the place for that. Rescuing other people, it kind of like loving somebody's potential. They may not want your help. They may, and that is not a dynamic that's going to create a healthy relationship.
Or they take advantage of your help.
Yes.
And I would say in that same relationship, I was also trying to help this person because he was a bit younger than me. And so he had never really had the life that I thought, like this great childhood, and he didn't have this encouragement. So somehow I put myself in this mothering role to give that to him. And everything was out of whack. And again, it was quite toxic.
And how did you feel in that relationship?
Well, I mean, I guess I started to feel somewhat used by it because I was never getting anything back. So all the support and positivity that I was giving to this person, I don't feel like I was getting that back. So I started to feel a little used, resentful, and frankly, starting to become poor because I was paying for everything.
It can be toxic relationships can be damaging to your finances as well.
Yeah, and there's Sonia Parker wrote this book called Letting Go of Mr. Wrong, and she says the wrong person isn't breaking their back to make you happy, so stop breaking your back to make them happy. Mm-hmm. And it's very true. I kept trying to make him happy, and he was not doing the same thing for me, so glad I got out of that.
So, and that comes up a lot where one of the partners will really be working to make the other person happy. And what is underneath that for clients that I've worked with, and by the way, we can use hypnotherapy to really identify what it is, because sometimes we're locked into these behaviors and we don't even know why we're doing them. And hypnotherapy is a great tool to identify that. But sometimes what's underneath that for people is, you know, it's easier to focus on somebody else because they're scared to focus on their own goals and aspirations.
Absolutely.
So getting some clarity around why you're doing this behavior might help you shift and find your way out of it.
I think there's also a really negative thing that I have seen friends do. I myself have done it, is where there's a sympathy that you feel for this person. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt sorry for him because he didn't have this great childhood or this encouragement. And that is a terrible place to be, like feeling sorry for someone. And that's kind of why you stay.
So, and that's not, and having compassion for someone is great. But again, if you're in a relationship because you feel sorry for the person, the dynamic is going to be pretty toxic. I know personally, I don't want to be in a relationship with someone who feels sorry for me. So
absolutely.
So it's not good for either person who is doing that. And I would ask that person who feels sorry to dig a little deeper and see what is really attaching them to that relationship.
Yes.
Sometimes it can kind of be a desire to control, or just fear of the unknown and making a change. So while compassion seems like an admirable trait, in a lot of ways, it can be really destructive in that dynamic.
Yeah. Carolyn Mace, she's a 5-time best-selling author on the New York Times list. She says that sympathy is pity and pity is not love.
I have to agree with Carolyn.
I absolutely do. I absolutely do. So I've been in a toxic relationship. You've been in one. I've probably been in more than that. Mm-hmm. So why do you think we stayed? And I mean, why do others stay when this relationship is so draining and so unfulfilling? Why are we staying?
So I think the core of that is always a lack of self-esteem and fear. So fear that there isn't going to be anyone else for you. Fear that you're too old to find a new relationship. Mm. Fear that all the good people are taken.
Fear that I'm going to be alone. So I'll just settle for anything.
Just settle for anything because you don't want to be alone. What is it going to look like to other people if I leave my relationship?
Yeah.
All of those things. And those all come from a place of fear. So I think that that's what keeps us connected to things that, you know, really, in reality, are so draining and toxic, but it seems safer to stay in that situation than to go forward because you don't know what's going to happen next, the unknown. Yeah.
I think sometimes, too, we're really attracted to the package, not what's inside the package, but we're really attracted to this idea of who this person is and what we are together and not really what's going on the outside.
Yes. And so maybe
on the inside.
In the inside. So maybe you're really attracted to the person's looks or their status or their stuff or what you think the presentation you have together as a couple, what that looks like to other people.
Yeah.
And those things can all be attractive, but at the same time they're going to be very unfulfilling. If on the inside, you know, if you want someone who's really kind and he looks great in a suit, but he's really not a very nice person, you're ultimately, his suit isn't going to make up for the fact that he's not nice.
No.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is Reader's Digest published this article that author Christiana Northrup wrote, and she and several psychologists or sociologists interviewed almost 80,000 people in relationships or about relationships around the world. And they found that 57% of those in unhappy relationships still found their partner extremely attractive. So they still like that shell, but they're just not ready to let it go, even though they're miserable in the relationship.
Or there just could be a little bit of element to have becoming accustomed to the chaos, the up and down, the makeup breakup, like we talked about.
Yeah.
So you're still chasing that person.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that isn't a healthy romantic connection, and that's ultimately going to be very exhausting.
Yeah.
So when I start working with clients, usually they've gotten to the point where they're so exhausted by this dynamic that they really want to go in a different direction.
Another reason we stay is, should we bring up the L word? Feeling lonely? Fear of being lonely?
Loneliness.
So what is loneliness?
I think that loneliness is a really interesting emotion because that's always what comes up for clients that I work with, that I don't want to be alone or I don't want to be lonely. But when we really drill into that and say, okay, well, what does it mean to you to be lonely? Do you not like the actual state of being alone? That might not be the case. They might have kids. They might have a full-time job. They might have a ton of friends. So they're actually really never alone that often. So what I find with loneliness, and it's different for everyone, but for some reason they feel like something is missing in their life and that the relationship will be a Band-Aid to fix that. And that is a false belief. It's never going to work like that. So I would question anyone who feels lonely. What does that mean to you to feel lonely? Because sometimes there's something underneath that.
Oh, I think most of the time.
Or all of the time.
There's something underneath that. And, you know, just going back to like this low self-esteem and how we're attracting them, where do you think this kind of comes from? In, you know, is it from our childhoods where we kind of feel that this is what we're accepting?
Everyone has a different experience. There's a lot of psychology theory around the idea that if we have a dysfunctional relationship with our parents, that we look for romantic partners to kind of work out that relationship and heal it in some sort of way unconsciously. So we've all heard of daddy issues and mommy issues and that can play a part into attracting a dysfunctional partner. You know, or it could just be your life experience, your personality traits. Maybe you were the oldest kid and you took everybody, so you took care of everyone, so you learned to neglect your own needs.
Yeah.
Maybe you were the youngest child and you were seeking approval from your older siblings, so you weren't authentic in your relationships. I mean, everyone has a different experience. And I don't know that the why is so important. It's good to identify sometimes the things that trigger us. Mm-hmm. And again, in hypnosis, we can really do some work to identify what those things are from your past.
Yeah.
But then once you have that information, move past it. You're not stuck with daddy issues your entire life.
Right.
You can make a choice to make other decisions. And so part of the work that I do with clients is identifying those things, but then creating a plan and a vision for a future that involves different behaviors and a different outcome.
Fantastic. It's so positive, and I can't wait to talk about it more and learn really how you help people with those. So we're going to take another short break, but when we come back, we're going to find out what these toxic love relationships are costing us and how you really can help. So stay tuned for more On the Verge Radio here on Transformation Talk Radio.
Known for his keen sense of humor, contagious smile, and extensive esoteric wisdom, EJ translates deep spiritual wisdom into practical advice to empower you to live your happiest, most fulfilled experience. Mystic Living Radio, Deep Spiritual Wisdom, Practical Advice with EJ, Eliyahu Gion. This hit show delivers profound experiences for all who want to live life to their deepest desires. Tune in monthly for Mystic Living Radio. Learn more by visiting vitaltransformation.org.
Hey, did you know why they call the foundation? It's called the foundation because it completely eliminates your foundation for what you thought your reality was and creates a whole new space where you can have an entirely new reality that is foundationless. So from my point of view, they should call it the unfoundation or the foundationlessness. Either way, there's a big new global rewrite happening again because these guys cannot stop changing. There should be like a Change Anonymous that Gary and Dane go to. And it's happening April 28th to May 1st. You can find out about it at accessconsciousness.com/global foundation. It's happening in Paris. Go to Paris or do it online or find a pod near you. These are all the options you have. And what else is possible?
Are you feeling stagnant or blocked in your love life, career, health, or finances? Experiencing difficulty focusing or setting and achieving goals? Tune in to Spiritual Diagnostics Radio with psychic visionary healers Carol Dorian and Justice Welling. Discover the cause and effect of unwanted patterns in life. Tune in every Tuesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit spirituald.com.
Are you ready to tap into the healer within? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know the real doctor is the source that lives within you, that heals within you minute by minute every day? The healer within is the innate intelligence of the human body. When we cut our hand with a piece of glass, we don't have to command the body to close the wound and grow new skin. It knows how to heal itself. We do have to nourish the skin by disinfecting it and remove the glass, or it cannot heal. The innate healer relies upon us to assist in this healing process. Our role is to identify its needs, provide the substances required for the healing, and remove the obstacle. Contact us to achieve optimal health at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Welcome back to Transformation Talk Radio. Today's episode of On the Verge Radio with Laura Richer and me, co-host Andy Lucas, is all about toxic love relationships. Laura, before we get back to it, can you remind everyone how they can get in touch with you at Seattle Healing?
Yes. So you can call us for a complimentary 30-minute consultation, and you can reach us at 206-765-8265. You also can get a hold of us on our website at seattlehealinghypnosis.com. And we are all over social media, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, YouTube, at Seattle Healing Hypnotherapy.
Fantastic. So when we ask, so we're asking the question, and this program is called On the Verge, and we want to ask people, are you on the verge? And we're wondering, are you ready to admit three things? One, that you're actually in a toxic love relationship. Two, that you have played a part in it. And three, that you can move on. So how do you help people do this, Laura?
You know, and all of those are great. They don't even have to admit that they're in a toxic relationship yet. They might just be admitting that something's not working for them.
Yes.
And want to explore that as an avenue. So you don't have to be that decisive about it. But you might be in a place where you are ready to make a big change because what you're doing is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So when I work with clients, like I mentioned before, that what I want to do is help them get really clear on what it is that they want. And sometimes those feelings of discomfort are because on some level, they know what they want, but they're not getting that. And so by bringing that information out, really getting some clarity on what your expectations are for yourself, for your partner, for the relationship, you know, can help you come to a place where you can make some decisions about what needs to happen next.
So you're helping them gain clarity.
Mm-hmm.
And then how are you, what comes next? Like, are you identifying kind of the patterns that keeps them stuck?
Yes. So we might look at some past information, maybe family dynamics, relationships with parents, maybe some relationship patterns that have accumulated over the years that they didn't realize that were toxic. You know,
Yeah. Sometimes
clients will be holding on to old behaviors that maybe were valid in their teenage years, you know,
Yes. Looking
for the most attractive guy, dating
the football
player to get high school status. And they get stuck in that place when, you know, as a woman in your 40s, that might not be a behavior that's serving you so well.
Not so cute.
No.
Not at all. Pretty immature.
And not creating the result that you actually want. So I think looking at some of those things. And then to really, you know, realize that we always have a choice. We can always go in a different direction.
Yes.
You never are stuck. You know, some people, even if it seems like you're stuck, there is always an option out. If you have to sleep on a friend's couch.
Call your parents.
Yes.
Get a roommate. Whatever you have to do.
There is always an option. It may not be easy, but
No. There
is an option. So we're never completely stuck or out of options. And I think sometimes just realizing that can be really powerful. And then really creating a vision for the future and so that you can have the motivation to know why you're making these difficult changes. Because it is very difficult to end a relationship, even if it's a toxic relationship.
Yeah.
And so you want to have a clarity and a vision for your future so you know what direction that you're going next.
Yeah. One of the things that I really appreciate about you and how you work is that you never judge anyone. And I think you really emphasize that to your clients, that they shouldn't be judging themselves. I mean, we've all been there. We've all been in bad relationships. Well, most of us have. And I think it remind them to be thankful that they're in a place where they're finally going to make a change.
Yes. And, you know, I have found this in my own life and with clients that I work with, is that when a relationship ends, we have this idea like, oh, I should have known better. I was so stupid. Oh. You know, like we're all psychic about our relationships. And that, is not true. You know, we have to go into the relationship often to learn about ourselves, to learn about the other person before we have enough information to make a decision. So there really is nothing to judge. And even through negative experiences, there's usually a lot of really powerful life lessons.
Yes.
Unfortunately, they come through negative experiences.
My mom always said to me, be thankful for the tests that you attract in life.
Yes.
So that we can always learn from it. I don't think there's really anything in my life that I would change. Maybe I've spent a little less on Van Boy, but
yeah,
you know, that's fine.
But you learned something very valuable through that experience. And you only knew it when you knew it. You couldn't have known it before then. So
exactly.
I think it is really important not to judge ourselves and just to be brave to try to move forward.
And to take responsibility that we are part of it.
Yeah.
And Sam Owen is a British relationship coach. He's also the author of Relationship Remedies. And he says we are responsible for our own relationships, their successes, their failures, the good times, the bad times. So we need to take responsibility for creating the relationships that we desire.
Yes.
We are not. And this is not Sam talking now. This is Andy talking. We are not responsible for that other person.
Correct. So we're responsible how we show up in the relationship. You know, and anyone who has had a childhood has had something negative happen in their childhood, obviously to varying degrees. But we touched earlier on how pity and love are not the same thing. Mm-hmm. So just because somebody hasn't experienced, you know, even a very traumatic childhood or a traumatic experience in their life, there's no reason that you need to stay and be the target of any sort of mental, right, verbal, physical abuse. That is for them to take responsibility of. So when he says we need to be responsible for our relationships, I don't find that to be judgmental in any way, because I think it's very empowering just to say that we are responsible for the choices that we make. And the awesome thing about that is that we can choose something different.
Yes.
If it's not working for us.
Absolutely. And I had a good friend to me say when I was in a quite toxic relationship, not with Van Boy, another one. Oh, my
Van
God.
Boy.
This was L.A. Boy. She said, Andy, your purpose on this earth is not to take care of him and not to make him okay. And it's really hard when you're in that mode where you want to take care of somebody and you want to help somebody. Mm-hmm. Gosh, I'm seeing some recurring themes here. It's really hard to let go of it because that's what I knew, that's what I wanted to do, and that's what I thought my purpose was, but it really isn't.
And no, and everyone needs, and it is one thing to help, to support partners that we're in healthy relationships with. But if it's so out of balance that one person is doing all of the taking and one person is doing all of the giving, it's going to create a negative dynamic for both parties. I was also in a relationship of someone who I became interested in their potential, and they did not have the potential that I had envisioned for them. And he became very dysfunctional. And so when I finally left that relationship, I felt a ton of guilt thinking, you know, what is he going to do? How is he going to be okay without me? You know, and miraculously he got his act together.
Oh my goodness.
So in reality, in hindsight, looking at that relationship, I was really doing more enabling than helping.
Yeah. You know, have you heard of the show Millionaire Matchmaker?
I have.
So Patty Stanger, I think is how you say her name. She's also an American businesswoman. But she says, if you're giving love and not receiving it, you're not in the right relationship. And if you're receiving it and not giving it, then you're taking advantage of the other person.
Yes.
And that is absolutely true.
And that's another side of toxic relationships that we haven't really touched on, is people who are staying with a partner that they're just really not very interested in. And they are just kind of staying in there because of their fear of changing. But it's damaging to that person.
And of course it's damaging to them too, because they can't really feel good about just sponging off of someone all the time or just staying. Yeah.
So you're never doing anyone a favor if you're just staying out of obligation or pity or any of those, or wanting to help or any of those reasons.
Yeah. So you use hypnotherapy, coaching, and Reiki to kind of help people. So how does hypnotherapy help somebody who is in a toxic relationship change?
So hypnotherapy is a really good tool to identify what's blocking you, what in your unconscious mind is keeping you attached to these dysfunctional type relationships. So like I said before, we could look at family dynamics, we can look at past relationships and kind of see what are the false beliefs that you picked up that are keeping you locked into these negative interactions. Once we have that information, then we want to start working towards having the client visualize the outcome that they actually want to have. It's really hard for us to create a result if we can't imagine it happening.
Yeah.
So if I want something, if I want to be in a loving relationship, but all I can imagine is abusive relationships, I really need a tool where I can visualize what I would feel like, what it would look like. Just that alone is going to get me closer to taking the action steps that will create that in my life. The other piece is coaching, which works really well with hypnosis, because this is the action part of it. We're making we're talking things through, and we're making a plan of action steps that you can take so that you can create the outcome that you're looking for. You know, and that might be getting off Tinder when you're just out of a breakup and doing some healing work, or maybe it's going to be more selective in the, you know, learning how to be more selective in the people that you're choosing. Yeah. So it would be specific to whatever the client's working on. And then Reiki is a type of energy work. And I love Reiki. It's a Japanese healing art, and it addresses the traumas that we hold in our body energetically when we have experienced something bad happening to us. And that could be physical pain or emotional pain, but that does get stored in the body. Mm-hmm. And the practice of Reiki helps to get that energy moving and clear those energetic blocks. So the three together, we're addressing everything, mind, body, and spirit.
I love it.
We see some pretty good results.
It does work. So we know that staying in a toxic relationship is bad for us. So let's talk about some of the reasons. And I think the first one we've talked about is self-esteem. So what's the impact here in staying in these relationships?
I work with a lot of people who think, well, you know, I know this is a bad relationship. I know this person is very critical of me or really holds me back in my life, but I don't want to be lonely. So I am just going to hang out here until I find something better. But the problem is that negativity just really eats away at you so that you don't even feel good enough to find something better. So the chances of you finding something better in that dynamic are pretty slim.
You probably wouldn't even recognize it.
No.
If it came up, or you wouldn't even be interested
right.
in it.
And you don't have space in your life for it when you're in another relationship. It just doesn't work. For very few people it has. But I would say in general that's not a good practice. The next piece is just feeling worthless, losing hope that there's even anything better that exists. This is the experience that you're having every day. So again, it's hard to create that vision of something better because you don't have any proof that's out in the world. And then it just kind of, that negativity kind of bleeds into your entire life. You're going to feel maybe your confidence is undermined at work, in your other mm-hmm. relationships. Maybe you're so drained, you're not showing up for your job or as a parent or all of those things.
Yeah.
So I think it really can be detrimental to every aspect of your life.
Singer Dionne Warwick. So she married and divorced her husband twice, William Elliott. And she says there was a time in the marriage when she could no longer look at herself in the mirror. She couldn't feel that she was a nice person. She said a bad relationship can do that, can make you doubt everything good you ever felt about yourself. And that is so true. You can just, you start to believe all this negativity. You're just kind of pushed down so far that you can't see anything good anymore.
I absolutely agree with that. And also when you're in a situation that you know is bad for you and that maybe the person that you're with is not acting in integrity or ways that you agree with, that to continue to stay in that when it so goes against, you know, your core beliefs and your own integrity is going to leave you feeling like a bad person. And there's really not a way to compartmentalize that. Eventually, it's going to be undeniable.
Exactly. So you touched a little bit about this, that it takes, being in a toxic relationship can also take a toll on our careers. Mm-hmm. And I know that was true for me. So when I was living in LA and I was dating crazy, as I called him, I spent a lot of time crying in the bathroom, a lot of time on the phone when he would call me to yell at me. He would want to get into fights right before I was going to leave for work. So he would pick a fight then. So I was late for work, and then I was upset at work. I had to go sit in my car a lot of times. It was just it. And then while I was at work, I was focusing on that. It was really hard for me to focus on work. So it wasn't good for me there.
Well, and like you said at the beginning of the show, that, you know, a lot of times we stay in these relationships because they are so important to us. And when it gets to that place where it's all consuming, where you are fighting in the morning and fighting at night and getting nasty texts at work and all of those things, it is all consuming, and some part of your life is going to suffer. And a lot of times, like for you, it was career. It could be in parenting your children. It could be in your other friendships or relationships. But it is going to take a lot of energy to deal with that kind of drama.
Yeah. And it does rob us of energy and money. As I've shared with Van Boy, we were together for 4 years, and I just took care of everything.
Yeah.
Because he just couldn't get the job together, couldn't get it
all together. And then paid for a little therapy to deal with.
I paid for a lot of therapy to deal with it to help me cope. And she kept saying, I don't think this is the relationship for you, but I really wanted to believe that it was.
Yeah.
Because I had this dream of what it was going to be, and I was so, he had that potential.
Right.
All of that. So it can really drain us of energy, of money,
Yes, all kinds of things you wouldn't think of with love relationships, but absolutely. And it can affect your other relationships.
Do you think it takes a toll on our friends and family when we are in them?
Yes, absolutely. I'm thinking of one of my friends who was in a very verbally abusive, toxic relationship, and all of us were kind of trying to help her and coach her out of it and help her see why she deserved better. And, over a period of 4 years, she kept going back to that relationship. And it was very draining and frustrating to watch. So if that's the pattern you're in, there's a good chance you're burning out your friends and family.
How did you feel as that person? So you're seeing this friend that you care about in this situation. How do you feel?
I think you feel very sad that they don't see that they should choose something better for themselves. But again, for her, she was in the eye of the storm. She couldn't see what I could see from right. standing back. So I think it's also important not to get frustrated when you have a loved one that is in that situation.
Yeah.
Although it's easy to feel frustrated when you're watching that.
Yes. I think for me, I have a very dear friend who's in a long-term relationship that it doesn't seem toxic as much as it's but it is. It's just, it's not working. It's not fulfilling for either one of them. And
so it's not abusive, but.
No, it's not abusive at all. There is a lot of silent treatment and stuff that goes on for days at a time, but.
So that's still toxic.
Yeah, it is. And it's not it's not what I would call healthy, I guess. Mm-hmm. But for me, on the outside, I feel disappointed for her because I want her to be happy. I feel frustrated when, I give advice and. I try to say, oh, I know you can do this. There is something better out there. And it's that same thing. You can't make someone believe what they don't believe.
Right.
And it sort of starts to feel like a wasted effort in this bad. I feel bad saying that, but it starts to feel like, why am I, this is falling on deaf ears.
Well, it is a wasted effort because that person has to want that for themselves. You can't want it for them. And I know you've taken some steps to take care of your own boundaries and health in this situation because it does become exhausting. So what have you done so that you can still be supportive but take a step back?
I think what I try to do is just listen and not judge, as you said, and not criticize and just listen and understand that she's where she is. I can't make any changes for her, and all I can do is remind her that we get what we settle for, which is a line out of one of my favorite movies, Thelma and Louise.
Oh, is it?
You get what you settle for. So, yeah. So I want to talk about the idea, because we've talked about this with toxic work relationships, that there is PTSD. Mm-hmm. And do you think that there's PTSD from a toxic love relationship?
Yes, absolutely. And I think that it lasts longer than we might even anticipate.
Yeah.
So it can be very damaging, the effects of being in a toxic relationship. And the scars from that are really going to show up when you get into another relationship.
Oh,
so
God.
You might find yourself, and it doesn't have to. You can do the work that you need to do to heal and process that previous toxic relationship. But if you don't, you may find yourself in it, or even if you do, you may find yourself very triggered in new relationships because now it's harder for you to trust someone else.
Yes.
It's harder for you to believe that somebody else would really value you and want to be with you.
Yeah.
You might be very suspicious of the person you're with. And so what happens when you go into those behaviors, treating your new partner like they were the old one, it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. So we see that a lot with people that have been cheated on, that they're constantly accusing their new partners of cheating. And oftentimes they do. It's kind of like hypnosis, the power of suggestion.
Right.
You say it enough, it's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the biggest things that you can see with like the PTSD effects of being in a toxic relationship. And that, if somebody really good comes into your experience, you might sabotage the whole relationship because you can't really believe that it's happening because it's so contrary to what you experienced before. Some people just don't even bother with relationship anymore. They completely isolate themselves. Maybe gain a lot of weight, a lot of.
And build up a wall, because that's like becomes this physical wall that, well, no one's going to want me anyway.
Yes.
But it's all triggers.
Or that I don't want anyone too close to me because it was too painful. And also, a lot of people to deal with a relationship that's toxic is they get deeper into their addictions.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think talking about that idea of being triggered, and we talked earlier in this episode about this overt criticism where someone is just nagging. Not nagging, but like criticizing you and belittling you for every little thing to where you almost don't hear how bad it sounds. Mm-hmm. And I've had friends where then I I hear the other person say something to them. It's like, how can you not hear how awful they are to you anymore?
Yes.
But they just don't hear it. So then when you're finally out of it, you're in this new and healthy relationship and someone criticizes something small like, oh, I don't like my eggs cooked that way. And you flip out.
Yeah.
Well, how come you don't like the way I cook?
And it's over.
Yeah. And it's just triggering what happened before.
Yes.
So you wrote a blog entry about this on your website, seattlehealinghypnosis.com. And it was about this idea of PTSD because it's not just the damaging that you're staying in this relationship and that it's chipping away at your self-esteem, but the long-term effects of being in this relationship are, we don't even recognize them.
And I think it's important to talk about that because like I mentioned before, you know, a lot of times people think, well, I'll just stay here till I find something else or there really isn't anything better for me. I mean, if you are dealing with a very toxic situation, while that loneliness can be very scary, that is, being alone is better for you than being beaten down and belittled and criticized constantly.
Yeah. And to not, what did somebody say to me once? That you can't grow a garden of beautiful flowers if it's all covered with weeds.
Right.
You can't, there's no way to just miraculously go from this toxic relationship and then leap right into a happy and healthy relationship because you need some time to heal and process and figure out why you were there, why you were stuck.
Right. What got you there in the first place can be very important. And I think you bring up another point is that, you know, it's not just about the fact that you're in a relationship that you're not happy with. What else in your life is suffering? Maybe you want to write a book or do some exploring or whatever it is for you, but you can't while you're letting this situation drain you of all your energy. So even a relationship aside, who you really are as a person can't flourish in those circumstances.
No, absolutely not. So tell us again, how can people get in touch with you?
So you can give me a call and schedule your complimentary 30-minute consultation at 206-765-8265. You can also find us at seattlehealinghypnosis.com, and we are all over social media at Seattle Healing Hypnotherapy.
On Facebook, and Instagram, LinkedIn, YouTube, Google+.
All of them.
We're all there.
Yeah.
So now, I am really excited. We touched on this a little bit before, but what can we expect on the next episode of On the Verge Radio? I know it's going to be on October 17th.
At 11 a.m.,
yes.
And we have a very special guest. Dr. Pepper Schwartz is going to be either calling in or in the studio with us. We don't know yet. But Dr. Pepper Schwartz, if you have not heard of her, is a relationship expert. Her career has lasted over 40 years, and she has done work on love and commitment. She's a sociology professor at the University of Washington. She is also the sociologist on the reality TV show Married at First Sight. Which if you have not seen that, you should check it out.
Yep.
And I am so excited because now that we've done all this talking about how to identify your toxic relationship, we don't want to leave you hanging. We've got some good news on the way. And
yes.
Dr. Pepper is going to tell us how we create supportive, loving, lasting relationships.
Yeah, because she understands how to show up as a good partner. I think she's going to give us some advice on that. Another thing I would like to bring up is a book that I love and highly recommend that helped me when I was finally kind of done processing these toxic relationships and thinking about getting into a new one was a book by Diana Kirshner, PhD. I know I recommended it. I've recommended it to a lot of people called Love in 90 Days. And she really kind of goes through these deadly dating patterns that we're in, like the I'll make you love me while you're turned on by a challenge and want to change the person, or crumbs where you're always on the other person's schedule and terms. So I'd recommend highly reading that.
Yes.
Before this episode.
She's got a lot of good pointers.
Yes. So our next episode, can't wait for it. That's going to be on October 17th at 11 a.m. right here on Transformation Talk Radio, KKNW 1150 a.m. And you can tune in anytime to hear any of our episodes because they're all archived both on TransformationTalkRadio.com, on the DrPatShow.com, as well as Laura's website, SeattleHealingHypnosis.com. So very much looking forward to another episode of On the Verge Radio right here on Transformation Talk Radio, where Laura Richer is helping listeners and clients use their breakdowns for a breakthrough.
Thanks, Andy.
Thanks, everyone.
You've been listening to On the Verge Radio, using your breakdown for a breakthrough with Coach Laura Richer. We all have that moment in life when we are on the verge of big change. This time of transition is a wild and unknown place. How will you show up?
Embrace the positive, drop the negative, and you can experience total transformation. Schedule a breakthrough session with Laura at seattlehealinghypnosis.com. Laura will help you discover the path to creating rapid and positive changes. Tune in every month for On the Verge Radio with Laura Richer.